had a very bad problem, I'm not gonna...
You nearly died, right?
Yeah,
you gave you 2 weeks to live.
2 weeks to live, yeah. Basically, if I'd carried on from that moment. And that's when, I suppose, the penny started dropping. I then ended up the next week...
How did you feel when he said that to you?
I was ready to go, in all honesty.
You're just ready to give up?
Yeah, I was ready. I thought, well, if I'm gonna keel over, I'll just carry on until it happens. But then what happened was, my illnesses, which I had, I had TB, hepatitis, chemical depression, chemical hepatitis, chemical this.
This was cocaine, right?
For the most part. I was boozing still, but that wasn't my drug of choice, as they say. Cocaine was the one that took me to the depths of depravity. So I was entrenched in that whole cycle and behaviour. I then came out of the meeting with him and said, right, okay, and I sort of had a choice, I suppose. This is where my penny dropped. I was in the hospital again that week in the A&E department, holding my, like this, yeah. And scratching and all these, ready to, in agony. And the drugs were no longer masking the pain, the painkillers were no masking the pain, none of the drugs I was taking, none of it was masking the pain because I was dying. My body was giving up on me.
And so, did you have people around you that you know, friends, family,
you couldn't tell me anything. It wasn't, and unfortunately, when you get into that state, no one can. You have to be ready to do it yourself. You have to come to that decision, because...
And what was that switch?
Well, this is what I'm sitting in that hospital and I'm thinking, how long is it until I go? Because I cannot carry on like this. And then my stomach inside said, well, you're not going to go that quickly. So make a decision. Do you want to carry on or do you want to just stop? And I sort of went, I've had enough. I've had enough of this battle in my mind. I've had enough of this whole... behaviour and cycle I'm in, getting and using, and I just said, this is not, and at that moment, I felt my brain drop like a clunk, it went boom, like all the neurons from the antagonistic thoughts going on, like, do I, don't I, should I, shouldn't I, blah, 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 and it always went bang, and it clicked, my brain went, so I think all the anxiety and the underlying stress that I've been under just left, and I had a moment of clarity, although I was still really ill and still caught up in the whole process, but it just went, and I went, took a deep breath and went, wow. I had that moment of clarity. We're all the same. And this is when you accept that, you know, we're creatures of habit, we aim for pleasure, we want to do so. If something makes us feel good, we're going to do more of it.
Of course.
And if it's a substance, the reason we take substances often is because it acts quick. You don't have to work for it. So if you go to the gym, you feel great, but you have to put half hour, 2 hours, yeah. 3 hours work.
Quite the same either, but yes.
Well, yeah, it's quite the same, but you know,
it can be.
It's fundamentally what we need to do.
Yeah.
We exercise our bodies and our minds. Whereas if it's a substance, it's a quick fix. And often your environment doesn't allow you to maybe go to the gym or maybe go for a run or do, maybe your environment is just difficult and you just go for the quickest fix. And that's what your mind will tell you. Because it wants the quick change. It doesn't want to work till there'd be happiness, because I think over the years, and from what I've been reading lately, the programming that's been done to us subconsciously as a species. See, the clever buggers, the philosophers and all the people who thought a long, long time ago and actually started thinking...
Well, they were all on something, weren't they?
Well, they created
different
well,
things.
Well, maybe, who knows what they were doing, but they realised the potential of power and knowledge, and they instructed people, small groups of people, to become conditioned, and over the years it's been handed down through the centuries, through the generations, blah blah blah, and that's how we are in systems that we are now. And I've read that book, Sapiens, is just incredible. I loved it. And
I need to read that. A lot of people have recommended that.
I'm quoting Yuri Novel Hari. Anyway, Hari, that's the name of the guy. So if you think about these systems set in place, so the routines you get into with the drugs or the alcohol or whatever your bad behaviours are, they become entrenched, they become...
Yeah, the habits.
Autopilots,
yeah.
Habits.
Yeah. So I go to the gym every day, that's a good autopilot in a way, but it's still an obsession.
As long as you don't obsess about it,
yeah.
Then it's good.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there going, I've got to go to the gym, I can't leave the gym, you're obsessing.
Yeah.
It becomes problematic because it overtakes your life, so you have to find a balance. Well, I just finished work at the NHS, working with people with real life issues. Doing outreach, going to their houses, working very, very closely with them, intense support, changing small parts of their lives, fingers crossed, hopefully for the better. And I took a lot of it on board because I had an empathy.
Yeah.
Because I've been there, in a way. And I had this innate wanting to help people, but I do it a lot. I want to help people a lot, which maybe, you know, was a bit too much for them. So I came in this house and I was doing myself therapy because I'd taken burnout while I'd left that job in the NHS. They hadn't supported us the right way. So it was actually the company called who worked in the NHS. I was really working under the umbrella of the NHS. So we didn't get the support we required. Consequently, I get burnout and I go into the Big Brother house with burnout. So I'm actually feeling emotionally drained, mentally drained, physically drained, a whole lot. And I'm supposed to be someone that they still think,
thinks
existent in the room, and he's not. I mean, if I was like I am now, I'd have been much more integral and part of the house, but I wasn't. And it just, for me, the psychiatrist, who turned out being a very good fan of mine, who was a mate, and we turned to be mates, I saw him every day in the house, and he said, look, he said, I can't see you doing this to yourself in here. He said, you're putting yourself through therapy. It's not good, not on telly. And I said, okay. He said, look, you can go. And I went, oh, I'll leave. So I left all the money, left everything, and just left. But it's experience, you know, and looking back, look what I've got now. It led me to the world that we're in now. So that's it. That word, if you say personal development, you say, well, you've just developed to your person.
It's growth.
Well, growth, but who else are you helping? Because if you go to some of the bigger life coaches who advocate for this lifestyle, where's the contribution in personal growth?
You contribute to yourself. Yeah.
You see, help yourself, isn't it? Yeah. So we changed the word. I use a different word. I use it as well-being or self-enlightenment. Okay? I mean, self is self, but selfless. Or selfless enlightenment.
Selfless is nice.
Selfless enlightenment. There you go. Selfless person development. Selfless. Well, there you go. So that's more where. So when I went and experienced that whole, Tony Robbins, I love the event. I love going to the UK. I think just the energy is fantastic. But what frustrated me was how much it cost in the back of the room.
If you were to write a message in a bottle for future generations to find, what would that message be?
Don't let the bastards get you down.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, there's a new interview out every Monday, so hit subscribe and like, and you'll get it straight into your inbox.